Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote of the day is by Frank Herbert. The mystery of life isn't a problem to solve, but a reality to experience. And we are going to talk a little bit about mystery today. We have the amazing Hi Conrad here, who has made a career out of murder, earning the 2022 Independent Press Award for Best Mystery, 2021 and 2022 New York City Big Book Awards for Best Mystery, a Scribe Award for Best Novel, and garnering 3 Edgar nominations from the Mystery Writers of America. Yes, Hi is best known for his 8 seasons as writer and co-executive producer for the groundbreaking TV series Monk. Other shows include White Collar and The Good Cop, and he's currently writing a series of movies for the Hallmark Channel based on his Amy Travel Mysteries book series, the first one, which will be aired in early 2024. So there's a lot more to Hi and his background, but I prefer to ask him. So let's bring him on. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Heather. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I'm super excited to learn more about you and to share your story with our guests. Now, there's a lot of good stuff in there, but how did you get started with writing mysteries?
I actually began as an actor. I was 14 years old and, you know, precocious and, you know, I skipped school one day to go audition for a national touring company of a Broadway show. And that got me into acting. And then I did acting for quite a few years, stage acting, through my 20s. And then one summer, doing summer stock, I had an idea for a musical and was had enough hubris that I wrote the book Music and Lyrics and found a producer and ran off Broadway for a short period of time. But from that, I made connections. And one of the connections was turned out to be a good friend, Bob Robbins. He was developing a laser disc company. Mm-hmm. Now, laser discs are sort of like the size of a frisbee, and they came out around the same time as the VCR, and they were all pre-pro. You couldn't tape over them; they were all pre-formatted. But you had a lot of possibilities. You could have 2 soundtracks. You could skip from one scene to another. And he asked me if I knew anything that could work in that medium. And I said, well, a mystery could work. You could jump from clue to clue. You could jump from story to story. And that gave birth to the mystery disc, which was, actually there were 2 of them, and they were fairly successful. And then people started calling me up and asking me to work on mysteries. Parker Brothers called me up and asked me to work on several Clue projects, including consulting on the Clue movie and doing Clue VCR for Parker Brothers, and that led to, you know, a publisher calling me up and saying, do you have any like short murder mysteries that we could package for you? And I wound up doing 11 books of short mysteries. And no, I kept answering the phone and people kept calling me up. And the way I got involved with Monk, the TV series, was Andy Breckman, the creator of Monk, worked for a year or two to get the pilot sold and to get everything in place. And then they said, great, we need 16 more right away. And he panicked because he's a comedy guy. And so he went to a bookstore, to the mystery section, and he found some of my books and called me up. And so I like to wait by the phone and wait for people to call me up. I think that's my great skill.
Oh my goodness. I love this story because, we often talk so much to people who are like, oh, it was so hard and it took me so many years. And it's so nice and refreshing to hear that these interesting ways that things come to you. So what's your favorite and then your least favorite part of the business?
My favorite is the actual construction of a story. I remember when I was a kid, I would come back from the movies and I would have to tell my parents and anyone if it was a really good story. The plot, and I would go into, and this happened, and she didn't know this happened, but then she figured this out, and then this happened. So I've always been fascinated by storytelling. And that's the great thing about mysteries is mystery is a very refined, maybe not refined is the right word, a very condensed version of storytelling. You have to get a lot of story across in an entertaining and a puzzling and a very cohesive manner. And so I think my favorite part is actually creating the story and finding out what's right with it, finding out what's wrong with it. My least favorite part, and this has come to no surprise for many writers, is the idea of promotion, of getting out there and selling yourself. I'm not very good at selling myself. I was amused or surprised. I've pitched several, I've worked on a lot on TV and I've pitched several shows and did a mystery series years ago with Steve Martin. But I was surprised to learn that you go into a room and you pitch the executives on the story. And so you have to be a performer. And I was aghast at that. I'm a writer, I sit down by myself, but you expect me to have all this planned out and to be personable and have everything kind of memorized and get people enthusiastic there in the room. And I thought, this is not what a writer does. A writer sits alone and curmudgeonly with a cup of coffee and he writes. Now you're making me into a salesman. So that's the part that I like the least, the
Okay, so
selling and the marketing.
well, you're sounding very amusing here and even in telling your story. So you've obviously come a long way in being able to get past curmudgeonly. So how did you deal with all of that, and how did you get to the point where you're like okay with it? Was it a mindset shift or just taking the action?
I'm still not great with it. Luckily people still call me up. I mean, Hallmark called me up this past summer and said, we've been looking at your books for a long time and we want to get back into the murder mystery movie area. And so people still call me up. And when I try to, some people have the gene where they can really promote themselves and make other people believe in them. Luckily, without that gene, I've managed to do okay. But I mean that my husband of many years was a worked in advertising. He ran a couple advertising agencies,
Oh, so
so
he's
he's
good
more.
at
He's good.
it.
He's good at
Yeah.
it. I think the secret is marry someone who's good at it.
So marry somebody who has complementary skills to yours.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I love that. That's awesome. Now, when you were mentioning about what happened with Monk and in that stress that, oh, now we need 16, extra shows or whatever it might be, that must happen a lot in the industry. Is there that work-related anxiety or stress?
I'm good with you have to learn, or I've had to learn that control is an illusion.
That's good.
And so I think a lot of stress comes from feeling you have to be in control. And once and I was talking to people at Hallmark the other day saying, there may be a writer strike coming up. Do you have any way that do you have any idea of what you're going to do for developing shows during the strike? And and that was my anxiety that I would somehow lose control of that. And of course they didn't have an answer. They have no final control over the situation, whether or not my union goes on strike. But yeah, so I think enjoying it day by day and realizing that at the end of the day, control is in someone else's hands.
Yeah, I love that phrase that you said, control is an illusion. I mean, that's fantastic because I find whenever I'm in a stress state, it's because of this illusion that I actually can control something that's completely outside of me. Now, and I teach this. Hi, I teach this to people. And it still takes me a second to go, oh, right. The only thing I control is how I respond to it. Okay, Heather, come on, right? So I loved that phrase. That's fantastic. So do you ever get writer's block? Is that a thing?
I do. I've been working. I have a couple book series that one is the one that Hallmark is associated with, which is a travel writer who, travel agent who goes on tours and always winds up getting involved in international exotic murders. A more recent one in which set in Austin, Texas, about a younger woman and her aging father, who is was a big political fixer in the state of Texas, and he gets involved in things, and she, you know, tries to get truth and justice to come out at the end. Anyway, I'm working on a third one of those, and things keep interfering. But I think a writer's block is when you don't have it figured out enough, when you just haven't figured out the next step. So you have to say, okay, what am I blocked on? Do I not understand this character well enough? Do I not know what's going to fill in the middle third of the story? And then, so if you work the tiny bits along the way preparation, I think, is the short term. That writer's block comes from not being prepared to go to the next step.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And, you know, it's leading me to think about some of, you know, I like, you know, a quick movie, right? But now I've started, because of my sons, to get more into some of these series that seems like there's a lot of the series out there. And so, kicking and screaming, I went into it because I didn't want to commit myself to that much time. But then once I do, I'm really in it. And I love, for me, a lot of it is thinking about the writing. So this is one of the reasons why I was very excited to talk to you, because I love thinking, well, how do they come up? Like, you see something several episodes down that reference back that there was something from six things shows ago that was a little tiny seed that was planted. And I find all of that incredibly fascinating.
Some of that, to be honest, is accidental.
Really?
I mean, you have
no
a good
way.
Memory. Well, an example. In Monk, in season two or three, we did a Christmas episode. And part of our idea was that Monk's wife, Trudy, died around Christmas time, and she had left him a present under the tree, and he's never opened it. Then we got up to season 7, 8, we're preparing to end the series, we have to solve Trudy's murder. And, you know, we think back to all the things about Trudy that we wrote for 8 seasons. And then someone said, what about the package that is under the Christmas tree that was Trudy's last gift to him that he's never opened? And we thought, why don't we use that to be the kicker to get him into solving her murder? She left a clue in that package under the tree. So that was accidental in a way, but you still have to like think back and say, okay, what can fit? What have we done in the past 8 years? And, you know, people were delighted that we planted a clue in season two or so.
And you're like, oh.
And that was, you know, it comes from the series having good bones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have good bones, then you can build on that structure. And also, being able to go back and retrofit a lot of these things. And I think, you know, in some series, a character will come in for two or three episodes, and you decide that we really like this character, and you make him a major part of the series. Mm-hmm. But then you go back and say, okay, how can we better fit him into this? Did his daughter go to school with someone? And so all these things that appear very complex, you know, when you sit in a room and think about it for days and days and days to develop it, you can make these connections to things you already wrote.
Mm. I love hearing the background of it. That's amazing. But it sounds to me that there's a lot of complexities, a lot of time that's in it. Are you able to work on more than one project at a time? I mean, how do you keep it all straight?
Every day I like to focus on one project, and you know, and that can go on for weeks. Mm-hmm. But I just turned something into Hallmark 2 days ago, and now I'm free to go back and work on, you know, another project I'm working on. And when that comes to a point where I have to send it off for approval or send it to my agent, then I'll go to another project. And so I have several things going on in my mind, but you know, when I'm working on something, it's hard for me to split the time, at least within one day. I need kind of like a day's space to focus on something else.
Well, I like that. And I'm going to translate for some of our listeners who aren't authors that you can use that concept that you're suggesting of, I call it chunking your time so that you're really focused on one project for a period of time for you. It's
right.
That day. But other people in their businesses can use that concept so that they're not constantly distracted and losing focus. So they have a flow that comes into chunking their time. I think that can be helpful for anyone in any industry.
Yeah. And it's not just so much, oh, I have, you know, 5 minutes, or I'm thinking about something, or I'm taking a break and playing spider solitaire. because you're still in that project, you're still kind of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're taking a break and, you know, having a snack, or you're working on spider solitaire. So that's still in your mind. But if you go to another project on that same day, then your subconscious is not thinking about mm-hmm. the overall project. It's thinking about, it's focusing on other things. So that's why it's hard for me to do two different projects in the same day.
That makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. Because we want our subconscious working for us, not against
yes.
us, right?
Everything we can get.
Exactly. We need all the help we can get. So with the name of the show, From Fear to Fire, I always like to ask, have you experienced a fear or a challenge or something that you overcame that you learned from that you could share with our listeners?
I've actually had a very privileged existence as far as work goes and personal life. This is hard for me to answer. I think the answer is no, I haven't. I have a lot of friends who get very anxious about things. I have always been a little bit more, I don't want to say zen because that makes it too positive. I've been always more relaxed about things, just mm-hmm. assuming that things will work out. So I'm not, there's not a lot of stress in my life. I can't remember really being overstressed. You know, there have been a lot of other things in my life where, you know, I thought I was, you know, I may have led a project in the wrong direction or, I'm not a big, there's not a lot of stress in my life.
Well, I think that the way that I'm hearing you is that it's not that necessarily you never experience anything. You've learned, or maybe your natural state is to have a really good way of dealing with it, right? So mm-hmm. you don't, some of your friends may have things that have come up and their natural state might be to get anxious about it or to stress about it or to worry about something that mm-hmm. may never happen. And you have this ability to remain relaxed about it. I think that's phenomenal.
I think that's one thing I learned from TV people is that Well, I work in a show called The Good Cop with Josh Groban and Tony Danza. It was on Netflix for a season. And, you know, you work with people like the guy who designed the sets. And he did this police station, which was like a WPA interior with murals around the top. And it was really gorgeous. It was like a retro old police station that that they were in. And, you know, and he was thinking about things that will do in season two. And you know, everyone's planning ahead. And, you know, we get canceled after one season. And then people just say, okay, on to the next project.
Yeah.
And that's something about the TV writers and maybe a lot of creative people, that they can do that. They can give something their total dedication and maybe fantasize about the future of it and have plans about this. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't work out, it'll take like a day and get over it, and then it's on to the next thing, which I find very admirable.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think that it's something I'm learning. It's not something that comes naturally to me, but I'm acquiring a little more of that as my age advances. So I would love some, is there a tip that you have on when you need to get started on a project or maybe how you continue on something and keep that motivation? Is there something that you can share with our listeners about that?
I think, I mean, there are a lot of little tidbits like never end a day at a hard part in the story. Always end the day at an easy part so you'll be able to pick it up the next day. That's, I think Hemingway said that. Mine is always remember what got you excited about this project in the first place. Your elevator pitch, you know, what motivated you to do this, because sometimes that spark can get lost in the creation process. You know, if your story is about, oh, this father-daughter dynamic and he's hiding mysteries from the past and she's trying to figure them out, you know, that's the core of that particular story, that particular project. And as you're writing it, you can go off on tangents and other things can come up. But I think knowing what got you excited about the project and focusing on that is a worthy piece of advice.
I think that's a really good piece of advice. That might go on our I steal something that we use as a quote. That could be on your quote. I'm not sure. There's a couple of good ones we have in here so far. Hi. So I read somewhere that you believe in this power of choice. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we gave a line once. We had this, there's this dim-witted character in the Monk series, Lieutenant Disher. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he says at some point is, you know, that happiness is a choice, which I'm sure has been used many, many times. But knowing what will make you happy and knowing what will serve your purpose, people can tell you, oh, you should be more involved in this, or you should be do that. But we make choices every day. And I think making choices that, and knowing yourself well enough to make choices that will fit in with who you are.
I love that. So the time is flying by. I told you it was going to go really fast. That's what happened.
It did.
Yeah. So would you like to share, because I'm sure there are people out there who are like, wow, how can we find out more about Hi? Can you share with them where you'd like to send them to get more information about your books or anything else that you're working on?
Well, my website is HiConrad, HiConrad.com. I also have an author's page on Facebook, and then you can find I have, I think, 21 books out now that you can find them on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. You know, what I'm working on, one interesting project I'm working on now, and I haven't gotten the final paperwork, but they are doing a Hindi version of Monk. They're
Oh,
taking
how
some
fun.
TV series. They're going to Bollywood and in Mumbai, and they are filming a completely Hindi version of Monk, and I will be like the American consultant on that, which, I love to travel, and that'll be great fun. And the working on the Hallmark movie, and knock wood about if there's a writer's strike or not, but we hope to film that in the fall, and should be on the air in early, as you said, early 2024. And that's it. You can find my books. I have a lot of short mystery books, books of short mystery stories and solve-it-yourself puzzles. And my was early in my career. And then I branched out into novels and TV. But yeah, if you look up Hi Conrad, you're going to find something.
And we will put that into the show notes for you folks who are driving now and can't write it down. But okay, so hi. Bali is on my bucket list. So if you hear of anything that where my skills could be used and you want me to go along on this trip, I'm in.
We were in Bali a couple of years ago. We did a home exchange there. Someone took our house in Key West, and we stayed in their place in Bali. And it's really, Bali is really magical. And there are a lot of cars and a lot of motorbikes around. But once you get out of that mainstream, it's a really a beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, how wonderful. So it's time for your final parting words of wisdom. What is one last thing that you want to make sure our listeners walk away with?
Focusing on the little things. Focusing, and not so much about, I'm not talking about, whether or not your shelves are all aligned. Sometimes a project can seem immense, and you don't know where to go. But if you have a place to start, if you can break it down into small segments and say, okay, this is where I know I have to start. This I can handle. I may not think I can handle the whole project, but I know I can handle this part, and this is where I can start. And then the other parts can start falling into place.
Oh, wonderful parting advice. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and wisdom today. And those of you who are listening, if you love the show, make sure to leave us a review and share it with a friend. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week.